Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4, if you need to find it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ecclesiastes. Or is it after Proverbs? I never ever preach with anybody behind me. I've always felt it to be a dangerous thing, and I never sit behind anybody when they're preaching either, because if they're shot at, I don't want to get hit. But if somebody's going to be behind me, I can't think of anybody better to have my back than this dear brother here. Now, this morning, I will be preaching a message, and I toiled with what to preach this morning. I preached this one yesterday, and my dear friend David McNeil came back today anyway. I told him that I would probably be preaching the same thing. I do have another message, though, and, you know, sometime maybe you'll hear that one. But this morning, it is important to me to try to draw us together as preachers. Now, how do you get preachers to come to a meeting like this? Unfortunately, the way that you get them to come to a meeting like this most of the time is you invite them to speak. Why is it that in the day, years ago, we'd have a meeting in the Roanoke Valley, in the Shenandoah Valley, or wherever we would be at, and preachers and churches from all over came to support that meeting? We live in a day and time when preachers are going to need each other more than they've ever needed each other any other time in the history of the United States of America. I don't know if anybody has had their eyes open, but the Muslims are on the move to try to take over America. Our government has changed greatly. The freedoms that we still enjoy right now at this time, they're trying to take away from us. And in every area of life, things are tougher than they used to be. I want to speak to you on the value of a friend, or value of friendship, or the need of companionship this morning. Every one of us needs friends. I thrive in making new friends. I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist preachers. I want to see us in this valley drawn together. This coming Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll be at David McNeil's church. We're going to have a pastors and wives prayer meeting. Amen. First one we had, 13 or 15, I can't remember, preachers, and some of the wives there. God laid this upon my heart to do something in the valley to draw us together. I wanted to start a new fellowship meeting, and I thought about that. And the new president of the Virginia Baptist Bible Fellowship came to me and asked me to start a bi-monthly prayer meeting. And I thought about it and I said, we'll not be able to funnel these guys into the Virginia Baptist Bible Fellowship because some of them just won't go. But we can gather together and pray for each other and be an encouragement to one another. I tremendously enjoyed the message last night. I've been trying to figure since I was about 7 years old, after I got saved and God wouldn't leave me alone about preaching, why he ever chose me, and last night I figured out why it was. Not really, but you nailed it. We're to be nothing and he's to be everything. Amen. I'd like to start our reading this morning in verse number 8, and I'd like to read through the end of the chapter. Yesterday I took a little more time and share it a little more, but I want us to just start with verse number 8. And if it would be all right, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word this morning, please? There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Is this on?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I got it on or off. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they shall fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. And I need all the help I can get. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Better is a poor and wise child than a foolish king, who will no more be admonished. For out of prison he cometh to reign. Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I consider all the living which walk under the sun with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing God that you are.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross this morning. And Lord, that you would only be seen. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us here in the Roanoke Valley as preachers to be there for each other, to encourage each other, to love each other, to support each other in every way that we possibly can. Lord, I thank you for friends. I thank you for preacher friends. And Lord, I pray that you might just give us something in these next few minutes. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Earlier in this chapter, it talks a little bit about praising those people that had already gone before. Now, some of us that are a little older, we remember hearing some of those that we call the great men of God. Some of you have had the privilege to hear Dr. B.R. Lakin, John, Rice, and numbers of others that have been before. But I have some news for you this morning, and I want you to listen very closely, preachers. There are none of them that are any greater than you are if you've called of God. Right behind me, it's interesting having somebody behind me when I'm preaching. I'm not used to that. But right behind me sits a great man of God. This man is a tremendous preacher. He's also a tremendous lover of preachers. He cares about other preachers. I shared this yesterday, and I'll share it again today in his presence. I was driving the school bus 5-6 years ago. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from my wife. She knows I can't answer the phone when I'm driving the school bus. Our youngest, our daughter, was to have been induced labor that morning. And I got this call, and my wife, I could not understand what she was saying. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a prank. I didn't know what was going on. She had carried Lillian Joy Smith full term plus 4 days, and she was at Roanoke Memorial Hospital, and there was no heartbeat from the baby. Finally, she settled down enough to, I could understand what she said, and she said this. She says, I'm on my way to the hospital. I said, you come up to the Glenver High School bus lot, and you park the car there, and when I get the bus there, we will go to the hospital. We went in. And as we went in that hospital room, I knew that I had a woman, my daughter, that was going to probably have to be taken to the psych ward somewhere because she doesn't handle things like that so good. And just as soon as I got off the bus, I made a phone call to one of the best friends that I've ever had in my life. He didn't beat me to the hospital, but he was right after me walking in that room and being there that day. And he ministered to our family. And he's cared for us long before then. That friendship started when he got here, because soon as he got here, I went to visit him and spend time with him and get to know him. His wife and my wife, less than 2 weeks ago, we sat down and had supper together over in Roanoke. This guy is my friend. He's been there for me. And during that time, my daughter says to me, "Would you ask Pastor Irby if he will assist you in preaching my baby's funeral?" And I did, and Greg was there with us through all of that. But that's not the only place that Greg has been with us at over the years. I wish that I could say that I have ministered to him in the same way, and I've done my best. I had his children on my school bus. And I love those, I would say kids, but they're adults now. But I got to know them, and as I watched these two young people, I saw that this man back here is real. He's genuine. Now, we brag on people out of the past and people that have gone on, but I want you to know that we ought to be bragging on Jesus. This young man right here, David McNeil, he's been here about 3 years or so, and I've gotten to know him. I call him the Energizer Bunny. Man, I tell you, he just keeps going and going and going and going and outdoing and outgoing, and he's become my friend. Young man sitting beside him, I started to call you Yule. Would you be offended? Kevin has become a great friend. He's pastoring a church over in Newcastle, out in the middle of what everybody would think was nowhere. And God is all over that place. God is moving and working. We've been in a number of meetings out there with him, and I'm seeing great things happen. His mom and dad have been my friends for a number of years. They got married the day before Jan and I got married. Your mom and dad will celebrate 45 years this coming June 14th. Don't forget the wedding anniversary. He's going to hold a meeting for us, by the way, the Sunday through Wednesday after Mother's Day, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, we get back here to the text a little bit, need of a friend. I want to tell you, we need each other. You need to be praying for other preachers, guys. And congregations, you need to stand up and stand with your pastor and reinforce him. A number of years ago, we were going through some difficulties and some tragedies and some tough times in our church. And one of our men rose to the occasion. And he held up my hands and he encouraged me and he strengthened me. And I needed that. Other preachers around here that knew me and we were close with me, they were holding up our hands and encouraging us. I hate losing people. I came into the mailbox after a Virginia Baptist Bible Fellowship. We rolled up and opened up the box, and there was a card in there of somebody else that was leaving. My wife looked at me and she says, "You need to get counsel. You need help. You need to put some resumes in. We need to move on." And I laughed. Your wife ever says anything, don't laugh. That was the biggest mistake I made. She went to bed angry. Harold Vaughn called me from Alabama. He was preaching a message that night, and he called and he shared with me. He says, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, "Better to be in the fire and the Lord be there, and be out of the fire and the Lord not be there." Amen. Sometimes preachers move when they should stay. Sometimes there's some battles to be fought that need to be fought and taken care of. Don't leave a mess for somebody else to come into. Stand. Now we look here, it says two are better than one. You know, everybody needs somebody. We need friendship. We need each other. I was greatly encouraged by the message last evening. Now I had some things I needed to get done. Now, I know nobody else is like this, but I never turn my taxes in till April the 15th. I don't want them to get one dime of my money early. I always have to pay in. Well, I didn't get everything done like it needed to be. And when I left last night, Brother Tom, I went home and finished it out, wrote the check, and I put it in the mailbox on the way here. I've done that all my life, but I usually have it figured out and ready to go in January or February instead of April the 14th. I had 101 excuses not to be here last night, but I needed something. I needed to be fed. I needed to be encouraged. Two are better than one because they have a good reward. Now, what Greg said a moment ago about together, we pastor within 2 miles of each other. And in the Salem area, right behind me, is the best pastor friend that I have in Salem, Virginia. Now, don't you go tell the others because they may get upset, okay?
Won't say a word.
I've got some other pastor friends, but you have different levels of friendships. You have different levels of friendships in every area of life, whether we want to admit it or not. But two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, you know, I said a little while ago, everybody needs somebody. I think about friendships, how important they are. It's kind of like a marriage. Now, I don't know about your marriage, but my wife makes up a whole lot I lack in. And hopefully I make up a little bit of what she lacks in as well. That's the reason the Bible talks about when we get married that we become one flesh. And I don't think I have to explain marriage to this crowd. It is one man and one woman. But the fact of the matter is, we have some needs one for another. There are some unbelievable rewards and power when we partnership together. Do you know that Greg Irby and I could knock doors together? Do you know that we could go to some unsaved person that's lost and lead them to the Lord? And we would not have to fight over which church they would go to? Because it's more important to get them in heaven than it is to get them on the church roll. It's more important to get them into heaven than to get them through the waters of baptism. And get them into, they ought to get in church, amen. We have a new members, new converts class that we bring people into. And here's something interesting that happened not long ago. One of the girls that grew up in our church and went to Glenver Schools, she had gotten married the second time and has a little girl now, as well as a teenage boy. And she called me one day and she said, would it be all right if myself and my children and husband came and just so we could go through the new members, new converts class? I said, you're welcome. Come on. They were in a liberal church in Salem. Well, they haven't left. And I like saved Jews, by the way. Matter of fact, I like saved anybody's. But they have been such a blessing to us since they have come into Gospel Baptist Church. We need each other. I shall never forget that day I talked about a moment ago, and this man being there and being with us and going through everything that we went through together. I shall never forget when my son-in-law, Cliff Smith, carried that little white casket across that graveyard and the service and put that little baby's body in the ground. I shall never forget any of that. But this man was with me. And he supported us. Not only then, but he called us and he came by afterwards. And his precious wife, Kim, she was right there with him, blessing us. We needed that. You see what he was doing? He was lifting his fellow up. He was lifting us up. He was, two are better than one. And then it says here, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now I want to tell you something, preachers, you need each other. There are some preachers that I've gotten, I said this yesterday, and He's not in this crowd and he wasn't there yesterday. But some preachers give you the stiff arm. They don't want you to get close to them. They feel like they're better than you, some of them. Or maybe that you're going to get one of their members or something's going to happen. And I love football. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. That's all right. That's all right. Let me explain this to you. It's only football in the scheme of eternity. It means absolutely nothing. And if you're a Redskin fan, that's the same thing. Or if you got another team, it's the same thing. But I tell you, we're on God's team. And that's the team to be on. Listen, preachers, not only do you need each other, but other preachers need you. You see, we need to be encouraged and lifted up and strengthened. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Well, I want to tell you, we need to understand some things. I want to give you three things that I gave there yesterday, and so that you would have those as well. Two are more profitable than one. Key word, profitable. And you know, we need to be profitable in the things of God. You know, there is a purpose that you and I serve. Now, if you're not a preacher here, you still serve a purpose. And may I say to you, God has called every one of you to share Christ. And as a church member, God has called you to stand with your pastor. Sometimes it's not easy to stand with the pastor because you've got some preconceived ideas of how you think the preacher's supposed to be. Every preacher in here is different. I can't preach like David. I can't preach like Kevin. I can't preach like Donnie. I can't preach like Joel. I can't preach like this guy. And I can't preach like you. But God has called me. You know, I remember this. Somebody said years ago, and nobody's here old enough to know who said it the first time. But every Paul needs a Barnabas and a Timothy. And I found out a long time ago, I am not the kind of preacher that anybody will say he's like the Apostle Paul. But I can be a Barnabas. And I was a Timothy years ago. And I remember some men investing in me as a young preacher. And us older guys, we need to invest in young preachers. We need to encourage them. We need to befriend them. Even if they don't like us because we're old and gray. Because we can pray for them and we can encourage them and we can help them. And young preachers, we don't have but a couple of young preachers in here. Young guys, we old guys need y'all. We need your enthusiasm and your encouragement. We need you to pray for us. We need you to be our friend. And that's what it's all about. And we need each other tremendously. Two are more profitable than one. Two are more protected than one. See, now this guy's got my back here. Things have changed in our country. We have several men that in our services, every service, have a pistol and it's on them. I have a concealed weapons permit. And if things continue to go like they are in this country, I may have to carry my 9mm back here somewhere where it's not seen and let my coat cover it up. It's a sad thing that we live in this kind of day. But things have changed. It's not like it was when we were growing up. Folks left their doors unlocked, left their cars unlocked. Left their money laying on the coffee table if they had any. Didn't think anything about it. But there's always somebody wanting to get in to what you've got and take it. Protection. We can protect each other. And, two are more powerful than one. Why is it you think that we take somebody soul winning with us? To run interference. To pray for us. To get the kids out of something, to bring noise down, cut the TV off. Whatever needs to be done. We need each other very much so. And two are more powerful. Then we get down to this thing about if two are better than one, three must be even better. Now, when it talks about here in verse 12, it says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And then it says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So three must be better than two. I remember the day when we would have a dozen guys pile in a church van and go to a fellowship meeting, could be as much as 4 or 5 hours away, and we had the best time in that van on the way to the fellowship meeting and the way back. I remember when we'd have a preacher's breakfast, and by the way, preacher's breakfast is always the first Monday of the month at 8:30 at K&W at Crossroads. It's been that way for 35 years. And if you're free, preachers, come and join with us. I remember when we'd have as many as 12 to 20-some preachers sit down at the table and just eat breakfast together. Not for preaching, but just for the fellowship. And then we would say to one, I'm going through this struggle, or I'm having this difficulty, or we're having a meeting, and we supported each other. A good week is if we have six for breakfast on the first Monday of the month. But I'd like to see that increase. And the prayer meeting, I'd like to see it grow. We definitely need each other. I used a illustration that I read the other morning in devotions, and I'll use that illustration again. Guys, y'all heard it, I'm sorry. Close your ears or get it down so you can use it sometimes. Babe Ruth, do you know who Babe Ruth was? Most of you know who Babe Ruth was. Tremendous ball player. The last game that he played, the end of his career, he got into a slump. Things went down. He wasn't the athlete that he once was. And when he stepped off the field, began to walk off, the crowd, crowds can be ugly. Crowds can really be ugly. You've refereed some games, officiated some games where the crowd got ugly. Some towards the ref, some towards the coach, some towards some. But they booed Babe Ruth off the field. One of the greatest ball players ever was booed off the field. And some little boy climbed the fence and ran over to Babe Ruth. And he locked his arms around Babe Ruth's leg. He had one fan in the crowd anyway. He wasn't alone that day. And Babe Ruth picked that little boy up and carried him off the field. Now, I don't know who the little boy was. I just read the story. And I thought, that's how amazing. And when we see a preacher, guys, when we see a preacher going through some difficulties and some problems and struggles, why can't we run to them and help them and encourage them?
Amen.
And if we see a brother that falls into sin and has lost his ministry, you can't restore his ministry if he's done something to take it away. But you can get him to get back right with God.
Amen.
And his life not be worthless from that point on. Now, I'm not getting into all of those things this morning, but I want to tell you, everybody needs somebody sometime. And somebody needs you. I got a little saying that I like to say around the church there quite a bit. God is good.
Amen.
All the time. All the time, God is good. We need each other. Spiritual MRI. We need to be ministering, and we need to be ministered to. That's the M. R is relationships. Relationships flow both ways. There are some preachers that I can't get close to and get them just to be my friend. You see, I want to build friendships. I've been encouraged by some young preachers. Kevin Altizer is one of those guys that just every time I'm around, he encourages me. I want to become his friend. I want to know if he has something he needs to be prayed about. When he's having a revival meeting, I pray for him. I will pray for him when he holds one at our place too. Brian Ratcliffe over at, what's the name of that church? Clearbrook? Young fella, single, pastoring, in seminary, play any instrument you pick up, kind of like your son. I can't believe these guys. So I shot Brian Ratcliffe a picture of a guitar I found over in West Virginia this weekend. We went over to visit James Johnson, a friend of ours, pastor. And it was a neck of a guitar hooked up to a bedpan. I sent him a text and a picture of this along with Jeff Gardner that can play anything he picks up. And I said, could you play this? They were willing to try. Relationships. And then involvement. We need to be involved in each other's lives. You say, well, but you know, Pastor Irby pastors less than 2 miles for you. How can you do that? Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about Greg and Sam. It's not about Temple Baptist or Gospel Baptist. It's about getting people to Jesus. I just need to be there for each other and help each other. It's so important. I will be the least of the guys that you've heard, but I want to do this. I want to encourage you preachers to befriend every preacher that you know in the valley. Pray for them. This church right here, do you believe this? This church right here recently, publicly in their services, have prayed for Gospel Baptist Church. But does that knock your socks off? Brother David was saying that the other day he was talking, might have been yesterday. He said some people come to our church and some people go to where John Dooley's at and they're a mile from each other. And, you know, that's okay. It's about getting people in heaven. The Bible says that he shall add to his church such as to be added. Let's be encouragers, guys. Let's realize that we need to have friends and we need to be a friend. God bless you.